In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Richard Corley, sentenced to life without parole. Jack Maculo, sentenced to 5 years, served 1 year. Richard Corley served 39 years. Gloria Killen, 32 years to life was her sentence. She served 20 years. Leroy Orange, death sentence. He served 19 years. Kurt Bloodsworth, sentenced to death for murder, served 8 years. Daryl Hunt, life imprisonment, served 19 and a half years. John Thompson, life imprisonment for murder, served 18 years. These are just some of the names that are found in American Criminal Court of Justice, where they had been sentenced, and then subsequently they were found innocent, not guilty. And then they were declared righteous and justified and released, even though they had served a portion of their life sentence, their death sentence. Of course, they were compensated in one way or another for the many years that they had wasted because they were sentenced wrongly. And then suddenly, without hope, not knowing that on that particular morning, it will be their last day in prison, and they will be free men, free women, because they were wrongly accused and wrongly condemned. If you are 50 years old and you do not know Christ as Lord and as Savior, please understand that you are sentenced to death and you are now in prison for 50 years. How much time you have left on earth will be your life sentence, your death sentence, as it were. Because when you and I die in our sin, because we are born in sin, and throughout our lives, regardless of whether you live 70 years or 700 years, you die in your sin, you end up in hell. We are all sentenced to death the moment we are born. And we are not talking about a transgression against a government, a transgression against another human being. We are talking about a transgression against God. And God makes no mistakes in His sentencing, unlike men. Like these poor individuals have been sentenced to death, to life imprisonment, to a period of time where they will be incarcerated. They will have no freedom. Every moment of their time in prison will be dictated by someone else. When to wake up, when to eat, when to go back to your little cell, when to go out into the yard, to walk around, to exercise, whatever it is. Every moment of your time in prison is dictated by someone else. And in our case, we are all in prison on earth if you are in sin. And our lives are dictated by the warden who is known as the God of this world, the devil himself. And the Bible said that he has blinded the minds of those who do not believe in Christ. When you read these names, when you listen to these names, please do not think that your name and my name is not on such a list. And our list is even far worse, because it is a sin against God and God makes no mistakes and we are all guilty. These people, while in prison, they will continue to declare their innocence. But that is exactly what every prisoner would do, and so they do not take heart or heed to their declaration. And in our case, you and I know that we are born in sin, because we die, children die, babies die. And then when you are old enough to know the difference between your right hand and your left hand, that is, you reach the age of accountability. If you are honest with yourself, you will also know that our minds are corrupt. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes continue to plague us. You don't even have to do anything, say anything. You and I know that in our own hearts, that we are sinners through and through. And then when we do not have the strength to get rid of the lust, it is expressed. All these lusts are expressed by our hands, by our feet, go to places that we all know we should not go. People will go to places of prostitution. You think our own church members do not go to places of prostitution? You must be joking. There are some who come to church weekly, but they visit prostitutes. They confess their sin. They repented. We thank God for that. But it was a shock to find out that they visit prostitutes while they continue to come to church. Baptized, served, and they commit the sins of the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, greed for the deceitfulness of riches that the devil continued to dangle in front of our faces. And he controls us without our realization. And then he filled us with a lot of paper qualifications and the accolades of man to inflate our ego and our pride. Feeds this pride with all these terrible, terrible, terrible food. The praises of man, all the degrees and all the wonderful titles. I was told recently that people do not like to work in places that do not have a very, very nice name. And they would rather have a nice title than more money in places of work. If they find out that your office is somewhere in the outback, now outbacks in Singapore, of course, would be Tuasa, right? Far, far away in all those outbacks. The places that people love to work in will be central. That's where the heartbeat of Singapore society and economy beats the brightest and the hardest. Central Business District. Outside of the Central Business District, it must not be too far out. And if your company or your office is way out, it will be a nightmare to find someone. And the moment they read your address, no thanks. And even if they want to come, there is a hidden agenda where your place is just a stepping stone for them to go somewhere else. And they love titles. Bigger the title, longer the title, nicer the title, and they love it. And they attach it to their names and they put it in their very long resume. There was one preacher who submitted his resume. When I looked at it, I got shocked because it was like a little booklet. I turned, I flipped, I looked at it. I was literally, utterly jaw-dropped. That person will put down every sermon that person preached. That person will list down everything, literally everything. I ask him, what in the world are you trying to do? This is not the world. This is the church. All these things are meaningless. All you need to do is just simply one page, summarize all the things that you have done rather than list out every single sermon, every minute, every place, every person, everything. What are you trying to do? Find this in the church. What are people trying to do nowadays? To promote themselves, their ego. That's why we are all sentenced to death in the court of God, and this world is our prison. And there is no escape without Christ. And that's why today we are going to look at this topic. Justification is by faith only. If you are understanding the doctrine of sanctification, it means to be made clean, to be made pure if you are sanctified. To be justified means you are declared righteous. Please make sure you know the slight distinction. Declared righteous. That means God will look at your life and God say that you are now absolved from the guilt of sin. And now you can stand before God because God has now declared you righteous. No longer under condemnation, no longer declared a sinner. You are now declared righteous because the opposite of righteous person is a sinner, a transgressor. That's what it means to be justified. Now the question is, do you want to stand before God and be declared by God, not by another man, not by some government on earth, by God himself? Because this justification, this sentencing, this death sentence that all of us are in is before God. Because this is God's world. And God put us here once upon a time. The world was beautiful without sin. And when Adam sinned, this world has become a place of great sin and evil and wickedness. It has become man's prison. And we are all sentenced to death without parole unless one day God calls you up and say that you are now justified. Now this was attacked in the time of Paul. These Jews have crept in. And then they started to preach another gospel where they say that it is good to believe in Christ. And some of them will say, it is not enough. You must add on the good works that are found in the Bible. Good Christian works, like circumcision, found in the Bible, ordained by God, taught by God, given by God. Keep all these feasts, ordained by God, given to us by God, kept by God, for us, ensuring that we must keep them. Or they would say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the ways. The other way is by good works. So one way, not enough, add on good works. Another way say, well, believing Christ is one of two ways. Another way is to go by good works. And then you will also arrive justified before God. And Paul says, no, that is another gospel. And then he had been proving this throughout the entire book of Galatians up to this point in time. And he even cited Peter's error. And Peter was rebuked and Peter was convicted and Peter repented. And so now he continues his argument. And then he begins by telling us something that looks a little strange at the beginning. Verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. What does that mean? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. What it means is basically this. We who are Jews are better than the Gentiles. And they are correct. Paul is correct. Do you know that compared to the Gentiles, which is the rest of the world means all non-Jews, including Chinese, Korean, Indians, everywhere, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which continent, as long as you are not a Jew, not an Israelite, you belong to this word Gentiles. And the Jews are better than us, Paul argues, and Paul reasoned, and he is correct. Let's look at our beginning. Can any Gentile nations claim that they began with God's hand? God was the one who brought us into existence. No one. The Jews could. Israel could. They could, because it's true. God brought them. God designed Israel from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God literally designed Israel. Can any Gentile nations also claim? What your holy days are have been ordained by God. When you are supposed to keep your holy day, which month, which day of the month. No Gentile nations. For us in Singapore, it's all determined and dictated by our government, by man. And so we have our holidays. It's given to us by men, and they can change it anytime they want. And so I remember as a small boy, Chinese New Year used to be 2 weeks holiday. And then they changed it to 1 week. And now it's only 2 days. You make me prime minister, guarantee 1 week. For everybody. Prime minister, but I'm not. 1 week is good, right? I'm sure all the students would agree and all of us would agree. 1 week holiday. Beginning from the first day, right up to. It's like 2 weeks, that's not, it was 15 days, right? So nice. Not anymore, they change it. The Jews, Passover, which day, which month? Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Booths, all these dictated, determined by God. Who can keep it, how to keep it? If you miss it because of one reason or another, you can keep it the same day next month. That's it. Not the third month, the second month, the following month. All these are found in the Bible, dictated by God, given by God, ordained by God. Did God tell you how to dress? God told Israel how to dress. Did God tell you what meat you can eat, what meat you cannot eat? God told them what meat you can eat, what meat you cannot eat. In other words, Israel was a nation that was literally designed by God from beginning. God did not take a Gentile nation and then Christianize it and then did some addition and alteration. Israel never existed until God brought her into existence. And that's what Paul meant when he said that we are better than the Jews by nature, by what we are, literally flesh and blood. And they are right, because Israel was a nation whereby they have been prepared by God to recognize the Savior at His first coming. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ went to the Jews first. Because you have God's word to tell you, to teach you about my coming. No Gentile nations have been given prior warning, which is what the Bible called prophecies. Where He was to be born, Bethlehem, and so on. All these told to the people of Israel so that when it actually happened, they would be able to see when Christ comes to them. I am the Son of God, the Son of Man. They were supposed to recognize Him, but sadly, tragically, most of Israel did not, and they rejected Him, and that's why God rejected them and used the church witness after that. That's why Paul says, we are by nature better than the Gentiles who are sinners through and through. Sinners through and through, from the moment these sinners are born, they are surrounded by idolatry, and every aspect of their idolatry and their culture born out of idolatry. Oh, some of their practices and culture may have lost the taste of idolatry, has removed from it the fear of superstition, and so it just simply has become part of their culture. But if you trace back even all these innocuous cultural practices and way of life, it still originated from idolatry. That's why Paul says the Gentiles are purely true and true sinners. We are by nature people of God, because everything about us, designed by God, ordained by God, blessed of God, protected by God, provided for by God, and therefore by nature we are better than the Gentiles in this sense, and they are, Paul was right. And that's why he used the word we. We who are Jews. So what does that mean? What is his point? If we who are by nature better than the Gentiles, closer to God in that sense, because everything about us ordained by God, and we cannot save ourselves, we need Jesus Christ to justify us, to save us, how much more therefore the Gentiles? And so why do you want the Gentiles to be saved by another way, by another Christ? When you say that Christ is not enough, when we who are better than them need Jesus Christ to save us, how much more when these Gentiles are greater sinners than us? That's his point. And isn't that true? If people who are less, of course they are all sinners, we are all sinners, we are all totally depraved. But he's talking about by nature, by using the argument of nature, using the argument of the three-dimensional world that we are living in. When you look at nation of the nation, when you evaluate the nature of nations, the hard facts about the origin of nations, their culture, how they live, where did all these culture and practices come from? For the Jews, they can boast, they can claim, they take pride that God gave everything to us. God gave us this land, which He called the Promised Land. Everything that we have came from God. Everything that Gentiles have and they enjoy did not come from God. It came from the God of this world and from man's own personal greed and desires. Man's pride, man's ego. And if we who appear by nature better than them need Jesus Christ to save us thoroughly and completely, how much more these Gentiles? And so why do you now want to give the Gentiles another way of salvation? Why do you want to put them on a yoke that we ourselves cannot keep? They definitely cannot keep. The law was never given, whether it is the moral law, the civil law, or the Levitical law, the ceremonial law, which was what they were trying to press and insist that the Gentiles keep, the ceremonial law, their circumcision, their Passover, and all the feasts. They were never meant to save us. What were the laws for? The moral law was basically given to us to show how great sinners we are before God. The civil laws was given by God to Israel to help them regulate their relationships one with another. And that's why built into the civil law will be the laws to help them settle all their differences. So if I steal from you, I steal a sheep, I pay back 4 sheep. I steal an ox, I pay back 5 oxen. So these are all the civil laws to mend the relationships between fellow Israelites. And then the ceremonial laws were given to help men mend their relationship with God. Because the moral law, built into the moral law, there is no law, there's no portion to tell them how to reconcile. Alright? The moral laws only tell them you have broken this law, broken that law, broken this and broken that. But built into the moral law, there is no law to help them make right with God. And that's where the Levitical law came in. The ceremonial law, sin offering, burnt offering, all these were to help them. And this animal sacrifices of the Levites, basically they represent Christ. They are called a type of Christ. They were used by God until Christ actually came at His first coming. When He finally came on His birth onto this earth through the Virgin Mary, and that's when all these laws were no longer needed. But until that day comes, Jesus Christ will be typified in all these animal sacrifices where God Himself prescribed what are clean animals and how the people must offer these animals by faith, looking forward to what Christ will do. And if you do that, you will be saved by Christ, by looking forward to what Christ will do for you on the cross of Calvary one day. Of course, their picture is not as clear. Their understanding will be not as clear because many of the doctrines of the revelations that you and I understand and enjoy have not been given yet. They don't have any portion of the New Testament, obviously. They have enough to save them, but they do not have all the details as we have. So in terms of the data, the facts and the revelation, we are better off because we have a completed 66 books of the Bible while they lived and existed in a time where the Bible was in the progress of completing. But everyone is saved by faith in Christ. That's justification. And so Paul basically argues and say, to be justified by faith, for us Jews, we need to be justified by faith only. And if we, who are by nature better than the Gentiles, who are by nature sinners through and through, how much more do they also need to be justified by faith only? So why do you want to add works, good works? You are now basically denying the sufficiency of the finished work of Christ by saying that they can or should and must be justified not by Christ, not enough, it must be added on by good works. They are worse than us. They are not better than us. And if we who are better than them need Jesus Christ to save us, our good works could not save us. That's why it had to be put aside. That's why it had to be repudiated. And Peter realized that after he was rebuked, after he was admonished. And now Peter and the people who were with him have already accepted that. And so you false teachers who have crept into the churches in the province of Galatia accept this as well. And so what therefore is this justification by faith only? So he begins by explaining in verse 16. A very long verse in contrast to verse 15, which was very short, precise and direct. How much more the Gentiles? They must be saved by faith in Christ only. And so he begins. Look at verse 16b. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Now that is the first thing. You have to know the right doctrine. If you do not know the right doctrine, this is knowledge cognitive. This is not experiential knowledge. Right? The focus is not experience. The focus is your brain. The teaching. If your knowledge of Jesus Christ is faulty, you cannot be saved. Please understand this. A person is truly saved when the knowledge that he has is according to Scriptures. And then the Spirit of God will take that knowledge that is according to Scriptures to bring conviction and conversion, where a sinner will now be converted and be transformed into a saint when Jesus Christ will baptize the person with the Holy Spirit. And that's what justification means. He will now be declared righteous in the sight of God, where all his sins have been taken away. And that cannot happen with the knowledge of Jesus Christ that is corrupted, that is faulty. And that's why you have to first make sure that the justification that justifies you before God, not before men, before God, not before the church, not before your pastor, but before God, that knowledge has to be Bible-based. If your knowledge of Christ is faulty, that's it, it's all over. You are deceived and you are in delusion. That's how serious this is. Because if you think that you are justified when you are not, you are still condemned in this prison called the earth. And you don't want to find out by the time you die, because it's over. The only time when you can still get out of this prison, this state of condemnation in this earth, our prison, is Christ. As long as you're still breathing. You can't get out of this prison by flying to the moon, by flying to Mars. You think you fly to the moon, you fly to the Mars, you will not die, you still die. You die in the moon, you die in Mars. You can't run away from death. Death is following you. It's part of you. Death is the sentence. The world is our prison. Only Jesus Christ can deliver you and get you out. And if it is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, where your knowledge of Him is faulty, you are done. Knowing that a man is not, never will he be declared justified by the works of the law. By the faith of Jesus Christ. Why is it called the faith of Jesus Christ? Because there are many kinds of faith. Faith simply means belief. You believe in the government, you believe in man, you believe in people. That's why it's called the faith of Jesus Christ. And it has to be the Jesus Christ of the Bible. A person who belongs to the Roman Catholic Church cannot be saved. Because the Jesus Christ taught by the Roman Catholic Church is not according to scriptures. Spell the same, pronounce the same, but not the same. The meaning is not the same. The person who understands him in his brain, in his mind, as Jesus Christ of the Roman Catholic Church is taught to them, it is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, and you will not have salvation. Why do you think men are like Martin Luther, men like John Calvin, they were once upon a time Roman Catholics, they were teachers, they were professors. The moment they were born again, they realized and they got out. They got out, they will not remain inside, they will not stay inside, because as long as you are born again and you stay inside, the corruption that is in there will vex your spirit. You cannot, you will get out. You will be so angry and upset to see all the things that they are doing to your Lord Jesus Christ. Now that you are born again, you will come out. You will never stay. You can't stay. Your spirit will never allow you to stay. The Spirit of God will not let you stay. You'll be so vexed in your soul that no matter what happened, you will leave. The might and power of that church in the time of Martin Luther is indescribable. Even princes and kings were frightened of the power of the Pope. You study church history and you will read of records of how kings and princes who tried to challenge the Pope's power and position of leadership, and they were humbled and subdued by him. Even their armies were useless, because the armies were all made up of Roman Catholics and they were all very afraid of being excommunicated, which is known as the bull. The moment the Pope issued the bull on you, it is even to them, in their mind, in their heart, the same as being cast out of heaven. That's why the church is called Roman Catholic Church. Catholic means universal. Universal church is the same as the body of Christ, the invisible church. But the moment you add the word Roman to it, they have just simply said that we are the invisible church, which is located in Rome. And the Pope is the head, equivalent to Christ, to God. That's exactly what they are saying. And the people there in captivity believe. And so when they are cast out of the great Roman Catholic Church, and since they believe that this is the same as heaven, it is the same as being cast out of heaven, which means you are ending up in hell. And so that's what happened. Many of the soldiers and the servants of the king, they refused to serve the king. They refused to fight for the king. They refused to defend him. And so the king realized his helplessness and he had to capitulate and bow and submit to the Pope. It's all in church history. You can study this for yourself. So if you believe in the Jesus Christ as taught by the Roman Catholic Church, please realize, based upon scriptures, you are not born again. You are not justified. You have not been declared righteous by God in Christ. You are still in sin. You are still the prisoner of the God of this world. You have to evaluate them case by case, gospel by gospel, Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ, because of the confusion of Christianity that we are living in. It's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of necessity now for yourself and for your children because of the last days. Jesus told us Christianity will fall away, will turn apostate. What it means is, the Jesus Christ of the last days is not going to save anyone. That's what it means by Christianity will turn apostate. That's how dangerous a time we are living in. If you are living in the 16th, 17th century, the gospel that you believe from the Protestants, that would be the reformers. The gospel at that point in time will be very, very strong, pure and good. Because there was only the gospel of the Protestants versus the gospel of the Roman Catholics. That's it. A or B. There was no C, D, E or F. But now in the 20th and the 21st century, you have A, B, C, D, E and F. And then you've got to find out which one is the real one. And so you have to tick them case by case. You've got to look at the gospel of the Methodists, the gospel of the Anglicans, the gospel of the Charismatics, the gospel of the BP, the gospel of all the denominations that you belong to. You have the brethren, you have the Baptists, many different shades of brethren, many shades of Baptists. It is a headache. You are right. Who created this headache? The God of this world. What do you think he's doing? He is now blurring the whole gospel message so that the right gospel is now immersed in this mess of false gospels, and you have to make sure that you find the right one, otherwise you are done. The worst thing that can happen to any person is to think that he is safe, because the moment you think you are safe, you don't need to be safe, and you will go on with your life happily, conscience is clear, because you think you are going to heaven. And then by the time you find out, you're in hell. And that's it. That's it. A person who is deluded, a person who is in delusion, will continue right up to the very last breath. And the moment he breathes his last breath, that's it. Whether he's in heaven or hell, it will become a reality for eternity. And that's why we are living in very dangerous times, and the Lord tells us it is very momentous to be a generation to live at His second coming. And He is right, very momentous, right, to be in the generation where we could be spared death. We could be raptured. We could be caught up. You know how wonderful a feeling and experience that is to be spared death, and it would be that generation. But it is also very perilous. Because the Christianity of the last days will be apostate. More false Christ, false gospels than ever before in the history of the church. Perilous and momentous. Please recognize this. Get our head out of materialism. And make sure of our salvation, because knowledge comes first before you believe. Right? That's why the phrase keeps repeating itself. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. But first you have to know, you have to have the right knowledge. Because if you don't have the right knowledge, what you believe will not result in justification. It will still remain a state of condemnation. Sure, there are many evidences of salvation, and you are right. Why do God give us so much of these evidences of salvation in the New Testament? Because He knows we need it. He knows we need it more than the Old Testament and national witness believers. Because it was the nation. As long as you are in the nation, everything in the nation you do by faith, you know you are born again. We who are in the church, in a Gentile culture and nations, surrounded by governments and people who are part of the God of this world, and therefore a church is in a very dire strait, a dire state and condition. And that's why He knows we need a lot of assurance of salvation, and more so for our generation in the last days than the previous generation, because of the fall away of Christianity. You evaluate the gospel of the Methodists, Anglicans. They are the founding members of the ecumenical movement. Do you know what is the ecumenical movement? Propagated and initiated by the World Council of Churches, there are three agendas. First agenda, first goal, unite all Protestant churches. They have succeeded, bulk of it, most of it. And then they want to unite Protestantism with Roman Catholicism. And then finally, the third goal and purpose, all religions. Just go to the website and you will find them there. And all these parachurch groups that are worldwide are helping them. Navigators, Varsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade for Christ, they're all assisting them there. They're all full-fledged members of the World Council of Churches. It's an open secret. It's on their website. I'm not saying something that they are trying to hide. They are not ashamed of it. You can find out for yourself if you really want to, so that you will wake up out of your spiritual stupor and do not allow the God of this world to mesmerize us with the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, because we are truly living in the last days where justification by faith alone is under attack. And there are many, many who are not born again thinking that they are. And if you are not careful, you might even marry someone who are like that. And that will make your life and your family a nightmare. Because you think you're marrying a believer when in fact you are not. The gospel of the charismatics, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be healthy and wealthy. You evaluate that again from the Bible. Again, if you are truly born again, you will not be able to stomach the charismatic teaching and their way of worship. It is so much carnality, it is disgusting, and it is something that you will never, never want to remain inside if you are truly born again. The music, the sound, and all the lights will give you a splitting headache. You can't stay more than 5-10 minutes. Experience it. Where? In Nairobi. Enter into a church, put me right in front because I was the speaker. The moment I got in there, the drum, and then the chairman was doing the moonwalk on stage. Singing, very nice voice, singing with all the lyrics all projected on the wall. Don't like to have lyrics projected on the wall. Him know the best. And then they will sing. One stanza Swahili, next stanza English. And look at the English, I can't understand Swahili. Very, very man-centered lyrics. All about man, all about the so-called Christian. Nothing about Christ, nothing about God. And if they are mentioned, they are appendix. The main thrust is the feel-good Christian, how feel-good we are. A lot of sentimental, a lot of love and the repetition of the same words and sentences that are very, very flighty. No depth, very little Bible-based lyrics. Do they consider themselves Christian? Of course. Do they consider themselves conservative? Definitely. So why was I there? Well, I was there because the pastor was a graduate of a Bible college in Nairobi. And so we thought, or I thought, that he was a fundamentalist. Until that morning when I was invited to speak. And I chose the passage by God's appointment on the salt and light of the world. And this pastor gave a very, very good speech at the graduation on Saturday. This was on a Sunday. The Sunday where I'm supposed to leave in the afternoon after the morning service. And so I was supposed to speak on the salt and light. And then he wrote a very nice pastoral page explaining that passage. That if any impurities come into the salt, the salt will lose its saltiness, its savor. And that's exactly what they have done. They preach very strong biblical sound messages from the pastor, theology-wise. But then they have all this contemporary Christian music and all this band and drum and guitar, and then with this moonwalk chairman and all those contemporary Christian lyrics. That's exactly the impurities that you have now brought into the church that has caused your fiery preaching to lose its saltiness. Meaningless. You are literally doing exactly what your own pastoral page tells you, warns you not to do. Then he wants me to speak. Then after 10 minutes in the congregation, I walk out. I said, I got a headache. The music was so loud. I walked out. Then he followed and said, what? Is everything okay? I said, I'm sorry, everything is not okay. And then I told him my burden, my problem. You want me to speak, I'm going to scold everyone. And I'm going to tell them everything that is wrong. And I'm going to use what you all did as the illustration to tell them that is exactly what this passage, what Jesus Christ warns you not to do, and you guys are doing it. Then he asked me, can you please not be so specific? Can you please speak a little bit more general? I say, I can't. You have two options. Either I speak and I scold everyone, or you take over, I go home. Then there was silence. The clock tick, tick, tick. I'm supposed to speak at 10:30 a.m. Now it was 10:24. Silence. I look at him, he looked at me, and then he said, "Brother," the moment he said brother, I said, "Chum, I'm going to speak already." True enough, "Brother, you speak what the Spirit lays upon your heart." I say, "Die." I say, "I die." No. In my heart, I didn't say out loud. I tried to look very fierce. Then I walk. It was the longest walk in my life from the annex to the sanctuary. The music has calmed down. They're waiting for the speaker. I pray very hard all the way. I pray very hard all the way. And so I walk in there. And then he gave me a very long introduction. So during the long introduction, I look. There is no pulpit. They only gave me a mic like the moonwalk. I don't speak with holding a mic. I only do that maybe during vigil service, not main service. So I said, I need a stand with a standing mic. I don't walk around. So while he was introducing me and the team who was there, Reverend Mark Kim and the daughters, and one of the daughters and the husband, and Reverend Eben Yud. So I said, "Can you please put a mic in front? So he did it and put a pulpit. So I preach. I did exactly what I said to the pastor I would do. And I told them, "The preaching is good, your doctrine is good, but then you have put in all the impurities and you have lost your saltiness. You've got to stop all this band, all this drum, and you've got to stop all these contemporary Christian singing, all these lyrics. They are not of God, they are of this world, of the devil. You've got to stop." So after I finished preaching, I quickly got out and then I got in the car and I went home. I didn't stay and shake hands. I don't know whether they were going to shake my hand or twist my neck. I don't know what happened after that. No more feedback, and I've never been back since. Okay, I've not gone back to BCEA because of certain changes in the government that this ministry has ended by God's appointment. This is the world that we're living in. The gospel sounds good. The Jesus Christ sounds the same, spelled the same, but it's not the same. You have to evaluate one by one, and the BP churches, we are not exempted. Please don't think that all BP churches in Singapore and all over the world are the same. Many of our own BP churches that we founded in other countries, they have already been infiltrated and they are very corrupt. The BP church that is in Toronto, it is corrupt. It is very, very dangerous. Don't go there. Same for the one in Vancouver. Very deadly and dangerous. Founded by us, yes. Did we contribute to it at the beginning? Yes. Did we help it? Yes. But it has been infiltrated and it is gone. You've got to evaluate. Same for the one in London. Gone. One by one, you've got to evaluate on a case-by-case basis. Because if you do not know the right Jesus Christ, you cannot believe and receive true justification. That's why justification begins with right understanding. Right knowledge, that's why knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, that is the first step. You cannot be saved by becoming a Christian in terms of coming to church. In terms of following all the Old Testament Christian rules and regulations, the ceremonial law, which was what Paul had to face. For us, our context is coming to church, getting baptized, all these Christian things. You think that you will one day become a Christian by doing Christian things? That was what they thought. That was what they tried to teach. That's what Paul tried to stop them from teaching. That is not the gospel of the Bible. You are a Christian because of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins, period. And it has to be the Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins, the Jesus that is defined in the Bible. Not a corrupted, misinformed Jesus Christ. And it has to be from the Bible without mistake. There are those who have the same gospel, but it comes from a Bible with mistake. That means the gospel has mistakes. Very subtle, very deadly, very dangerous. That's how dangerous a world, how perilous a world we're living in. And if you truly know this, by the faith of Jesus Christ, it has to be the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And then you believe, because Paul used the past tense now. And we, emphasis, we, myself, and all the disciples, including Peter all believers, Timothy, Titus, everyone, we, including us, if you are truly born again, we have believed past tense. First you know, then you believe in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. God is the one who will declare us righteous by the faith that you have to have in the Christ of the Bible. And not by the works of the law, not by adding, saying that Jesus Christ is good but not enough, or not by giving an alternate. You can believe in Jesus Christ to be saved, or you can come to church and one day become a Christian also to be saved. No such thing. It's either through Christ alone or none whatsoever. Not and, don't add, and don't say or. No one can be justified by coming to church, by doing the Christian things, by any law. That's what justification is all about, only in Christ. And Jesus Christ can save us still. This Jesus Christ is the Jesus Christ who came down from heaven, fully God and fully man, because he was born of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Spirit of God, not by any human man. And then he lived a perfect life, and he entered into service at the age of 30. He served for 3.5 years through his perfect teaching, through his perfect life, and through his many miracles to prove to the people that I am indeed the Son of God, the Messiah, that God sent to save all of you from your sin. And then he lived a perfect life in obedience to all of God's command, which God demands from us. He did it all. And then us who are sinners, he had to be punished because of your sins and my sins to get us out of hell. And that's what he did. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, silently, quietly, he allowed himself to be abused. They spat on him, they punched him, they whipped him, and they humiliated him by mocking him. You call yourself a king, let us make you a crown. And he weaved a crown of thorns, putting on him a royal garment, mocking him and laughed at him. And then cover his head and punch him and say, well, you're a prophet, guess who punched you? And then they nailed him to the cross and he hung on the cross and he said, it is finished. What was finished? Dying on the cross to satisfy the wrath of God against you and me, to get us out of this prison of death. It is finished. It is enough. 3 days later, God said, yes, it is enough. And God raised him from the dead so that all who are in Christ truly, sincerely accepted Jesus Christ and believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago died for my sin, died in my place as my substitution. God says, you will be safe with all your heart. This Jesus of the Bible will save you truly 100%. And therefore, you will know it in your heart. Because Jesus Christ will baptize you with the Spirit of God. Now there is a transformation. And 1 John explains it. That is an assurance that is in your heart before God. That you know you are born again. And sometimes, even though you may not feel that you are born again because of your lack of knowledge, and you begin to doubt, and your heart condemns you, the Bible says God is greater than your heart, because you must anchor your faith based upon God's promises in Holy Scriptures and not on feelings. And when your heart does not condemn you, you must still go back to God and make sure of your salvation according to the Scriptures, because there are so many evidences of salvation. A person who is born again, he will love to pray. He will love to be with Christians. He will love to come for worship. He will love to read God's Word. He will love to study God's Word, because to study God's Word means to hear the voice of His loving Heavenly Father. And He loves that. He cannot help it. He longed for the time where He could read God's Word, even though He knows that He cannot read God's Word throughout the whole day, because He has many other things to do. And God did not ask you to. But God says, pray without ceasing. You can commune with me every day. But I want you to read God's Word every day. Not every moment of every day, that's impossible. But every day. Did you read God's Word this morning? Please don't read God's Word once a week when we do responsive reading. That is a very tragic evidence that you may not be born again. How can a person who is born again not desire food? Because the Bible is our only spiritual food, the milk and meat to our soul. These are some of the evidences that God has given to us to help us to make sure that we are truly declared righteous by God. That God, when He looks at your life, He will scrutinize it from inside out and every moment of every day. And God knows. You can't hide from Him, because God alone who is the one who can justify us and declare us righteous. And that's why it is before Him always that you have to make sure of your salvation. You want to go to another country. They have certain rules and regulations to see whether you are justified. good enough, right? And so you fill up all the forms, and you have to fulfill all their requirements, and you have to meet their standard. Otherwise, they will not want you in. Imagine if you are a pedophile, if you are a serial killer, and then you want to migrate from your country to another country. You think anybody will want you? Nobody will want you, because when you fill in all these things about yourself, they will say, I don't want this pedophile in my country. I don't want this serial killer in my country. You have to fulfill all the requirements. You want to enter heaven? God has His requirement. And God's requirement is holiness, righteousness, no sin. But how do we get in? We are born sinner. The moment we are born, we are already disqualified. The only way is to get rid of your sin. How to get rid of my sin? How to get rid of sin? You can't. By good works, you think your good works can cancel out all the sinful bad works? Of course not. What about all the good Christian works? That's Paul's point. All the Christian works, according to the Old Testament at that point in time, God says, we cannot keep it. We are Jews who are by nature better than the Gentiles. We cannot do it. Why do you want to impose it on the Gentiles? We can't do it. And they are sinners by nature. We are by nature God's people because of all our culture that God has ordained. And we can't do it. And now you want the Gentiles who are by nature sinners through and through, and you want them to do it? We can't do it. They can't. They can't. And that's why we need Christ. They need Christ. Everybody needs Christ to be justified, to be declared righteous, so that now they can enter heaven. You want to enter heaven, the qualification is righteousness. Because in heaven, only righteous people dwell. Those who were in heaven, the moment they became unrighteous, they were cast out of heaven. And that's what the devil, that's what one third of the angelic beings did. And God had to cast them out because they ceased to be holy. They ceased to be righteous because now they are in sin. And if you and I are still in sin, we cannot get in. Righteousness is the key to go in. And only through Christ. Justification means God has to declare us righteous in Christ. Because you have died with Christ, and that's where we're going to follow up in the most wonderful verse in this whole book of Galatians. Verse 20. The best. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Is this your philosophy of life? Is this your experience in life? That the life that you now live in the flesh, you're living for Christ. Your motive, your ambitions, they are all Christ, not your own. You ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? I will go. I will do. I will serve you as a disciple of Christ. Anywhere, everywhere. No longer what you want. That is God. That's the old man. The new man is now I live for Christ by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and go where He wants me to go. Is this your heart desire between you and Christ? If that is, that's another evidence of salvation, that you are truly justified, declared righteous. Because a person who is righteous will always do what is right. And God willing, the next quarter for Sunset Gospel Hour, we're going to focus on know yourself. Know yourself. That means we're going to study all the many titles that God has used to describe who a believer and what a believer is. Know yourself. Who are you in Christ? And I hope that through that study, your life will truly be changed. You become more cognizant of who you are and what you are doing here. And hopefully, your life will be changed and transformed because you're no longer living in a dream. You're now living in a Christ-centered reality because you are now truly righteous, declared righteous by God in Christ. Therefore, be righteous, speak righteously, think righteously, motivated by the love of Christ, which is righteousness, and do everything that is right. And if you have done wrong, what is the right thing to do? Repent, forgive, and be righteous. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee that though we are all born in sin in this prison called earth, and there is no way we can get out and escape from this prison except in Christ and through Christ. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy great love for us. We thank Thee, O Lord, that in Christ Jesus we have been declared righteous by Thee because of all that He has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And you have accepted all that He has done for us as sufficient to wash away all our sins and take away the bondage of sin in our lives. When you raised Him from the dead for our justification. And we thank Thee, O Lord, for this wonderful life that we have in Christ. To stand before Thee justified. That everywhere we go, we desire righteousness. For we have been declared righteous by Thee and Thee alone in Christ. We pray, Father, that everyone in this sanctuary, whom You have brought into Thy house this morning, may understand what it means to stand before Thee justified. For they have experienced the wonderful Savior in their lives. To experience the joy of salvation and the deliverance from the bondage of sin. That they do not need to come under the power and the voice of sin anymore. That the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life are no longer their masters. But they have a new master. That is the voice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will lead them in the direction and the pathway of holiness, of godliness, of righteousness according to the Scriptures. And this is the new life that they delight in, and this is the new life that they are living in. And we pray, Father, that this is true of every one of us here this morning. May Thou help us, convict us. And if not, O Lord, may Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction, and the sinner may truly humble himself and break down in godly sorrow and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as his Lord and his Savior. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.